Hey guys, before we get into this next episode, I want to share a couple things with you. First, I am happy to announce the new daysinthewild.com is finally launched. Everything is in one place, my guide services, the podcasts, access to my blogs, etc. So go check it out, daysinthewild.com. If you've been following the show lately, you know that we've partnered with Bushnell and Primos. The awesome thing about that is that if you use promo code STL02, you will save 15% on anything they sell. It doesn't have to be the stuff that I use. I've been using the Bushnell trail cameras for years. I did a couple of reviews over the years, and Bushnell always came out on top. They're excellent. And I know you've heard me talk about Primos calls and how good they are, but I've also been using their ground blinds, and they're awesome. I don't know if you know, remember Double Bull blinds, but that's a Primos product now, or has been for a while. I also tried out a set of their shooting sticks, and for standing shots or, you know, using for clients when we're predator hunting, or my kids that need it when we're spot and stalk and have to get in close on javelina or anything like that. It's like a really good tool. I love them. They're quick setup and they're steady. Lastly, do yourself a favor and go check out the lineup of shooting bags, glassing pads, and other accessories that Phoenix Shooting Bags puts out. Go to phoenixshootingbags.com. Use promo code John Stallone, all one word, and save 20%. You'll thank me later, I promise. Go check them out. Hey, don't forget to give us a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. It helps me keep bringing you guys content for free, and it definitely helps out our ratings and reach more people. So thanks again for taking care of that. Appreciate it. Now let's roll into this next episode. Hi, welcome to Days in Wild Big Game Hunting Podcast, brought to you by Phoenix Shooting Bags. Today, we're going to talk to Charles Whitlam. He is...
Hello.
Pretty much my the guy that I hunt with the most outside of my family, and he was just here for a week, well, 6 days, I guess, hunting in Arizona during the over-the-counter late hunt, and came the first week of January to come hunt with me. So what's going on, man?
Not much. I'm actually driving right now, but should be good. I got AirPods in. I think they're pretty clear. How's it sound to you?
So far, you sound good. Yeah.
All right.
Cool. We'll see. Hopefully, your internet don't. I mean, your phone service don't drop.
Should be good.
I do hear a little feedback actually now that I'm listening hard, but hopefully it'll. Won't disturb the public too much here.
All right.
Anyway, yeah, you were here.
Probably
the worst year I've seen. Well, I wouldn't say worst ever, but it was one of the worst first weeks of January I've ever experienced in Arizona. The last time it was bad like this was 2016. And it ended up getting pretty good towards the end of January, but yeah, usually it's a much, much different experience.
So when you say bad, you mean the number of game, the number of bucks,
yeah,
shooter bucks, stuff like that you would see?
Okay. I didn't really see anything while we were out there that really got my motor running. I mean, there was a couple of decent bucks that we seen, but nothing amazing, you know? Just the sheer number of deer that we've seen was not what I'm used to seeing, especially in a few of my upper tier spots that I would, you know, normally go there and see, you know, four or five times the amount of deer that we've seen. We did end up hunting water quite a bit, which was a little different for me. And that had its... had its challenges, you know.
Yeah, that was my first time doing that. Actually sitting over water. I don't think I have, unless I'm just completely blanking, I don't think I've ever done that before, not for any period of time like we did. I saw a lot of animals. I didn't see any shooter coos deer whatsoever. A lot of spikes, nothing bigger than a spike. Lots of does. There was action all day long, though. So there was animals coming in all the time.
Right.
And then eventually, and then I don't know what day was, second day, third day, javelina came in at like two-ish. Is that what it was?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so I shot a javelina. I mean, I almost didn't even know they were there because I was just slouched in my chair. I'd been there since before first light.
Yeah.
I did have it was a shooter for me just because I'd never shot a desert mule deer, but I did have a 3x2 mule deer come in that kind of got screwed up. But yeah, I mean, for the amount of time sitting there, I know what you're used to and what you had been seeing. It seemed a little dry on, at least for bucks. And, but regardless, I thought my first time in the desert, so that was the first time I'd been there. So for me, it was awesome. There was a lot to learn. It was new things to look for, like it took a few days to spot when we were glassing to spot deer,
mm-hmm.
you know,
you gotta get your deer eyes. Yep.
Yeah. Just in a totally different environment. It was a great trip. I'm really glad I got the javelina. I think, you know, there was no way of knowing, but had we hunted the whole week where we were on the last day,
mm-hmm.
probably would have been pretty action packed for a number of reasons. It seems like we saw more animals for that morning we were there, and there was really hardly any hunters.
Yeah. That's like one of, like I told you, that's like one of my go-to spots, if not my favorite spot in the units that we were hunting.
Yeah.
It's just, and even that to me was very disappointing. Like I'm used to, especially, you know, in the morning glassing, I'm used to seeing.
Yeah, you said that. You said usually by now I have so many options, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, exactly. You're trying to figure out which one to go after, not hoping you could find one to go after.
Right.
Yeah, it was very different. Very different. Javelina was no problem. We glassed up, geez, I don't know how many friggin' javelina we've seen. Pretty much every time we glassed, we've seen javelina.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because usually it's kind of the other way around. You usually see more deer than you see javelina.
That's crazy to me. To think that's nuts. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you see how tall that grass is and stuff, so they might be there, but you don't see them. And that might be the case. It might just because we haven't had rain, that grass didn't get as tall as it normally is.
Oh right, yeah. There really wasn't grass in most, but yeah, if it was to its normal length, then yeah, I guess it would be really hard to find them. I didn't think about that. Maybe that's why.
You know, the ground cover itself was not what it normally would be.
Right.
You know, and everything's green and whatever. Now everything was like yellow. So those black bodies kind of stand out against the yellow pretty easy.
Yeah.
So I think that's what it really came down to. Is why we were able to pick them up. Then I just, you know, when we were actually searching for javelina before we both tagged out, you know, I was taking us to spots that I knew traditionally javelina occupy. So, but yeah, we had some, you know, other than the hunting, we had some interesting experiences down there. I mean, starting off, I think, I don't know the whole, chronology of the, of events, I don't really remember, but for some reason, I remember the first one standing out to me was you sitting on the water hole and guys coming and talking like 100 yards loudly for over an hour or an hour and a half by your where you were sitting.
Yeah, so this was a Thursday. We started hunting on Monday, and I felt like Monday through Wednesday, besides just a few things that had happened that were just typical of things going bad, you know, not good luck or whatever. I felt like, you know, we're seeing a lot of animals, not really the right ones necessarily. But then starting Thursday is when we really started seeing numbers of people.
Yeah.
So, and it's public land or it's private access to, you know, to the public, whatever, same thing kind of. Mm-hmm. So Thursday morning when I'm walking in, I hear a side by side, you know, miles away in the back of my head. I'm like, man, I hope they don't come down this trail. Cause honestly, I hadn't seen anybody for back there at all. Right. I was kind of surprised that for all the time I spent there, I hadn't even seen anybody drive down the road. Well, here they come, and they're side by side with 19 million lights on and all that. They come up behind me, and I'm like, hey, I'm hunting the water hole down here. Do you know where it's at? And they're like, oh, yeah, we know where it's at. We'll, you know, we'll turn around, and we'll go somewhere else. So, and then, I don't know, about 2 hours later, I heard, I don't know if these were the same guys or not. I have no idea. Maybe they were, maybe they weren't. But 2 hours later, so now it's, let's just say it's 9 a.m. I hear some side-by-sides and they get pretty close. Guys get out and I hear talking and I continually hear talking for the next hour and a half to some extent. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. I was like, gosh, are these guys really that close? Or is this somebody that's a mile away and sounds just really traveling? And then I wouldn't hear it for a little bit. And then I would hear like some laughing or something. So I'm sitting in the blind and deer are coming in. Coos deer are coming in. And it was kind of quiet. I mean, they're used to traffic for sure in that area.
Yeah, between the border patrol and the ranchers. And yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So then I'm sitting there and I hear some guys laughing while there's deer at the water and the deer take off. I'm like, man, these guys have got to be close. I'm like, this is just, I don't understand what's going on. Is somebody setting up a camp or something like super close to this water hole, mm-hmm. which isn't legal, right?
We've witnessed a couple of times that we saw guys camped right on water holes. Like what? Like,
yeah,
unreal. Okay.
So I decide, I'm like, I'm just wasting my time. I got to get out and see what's going on. Like, I just need to know if somebody's really that close and what's going on. Cause I just feel like I'm wasting my time. Cause now the deer are actually running away. So I get out and I walk only 100 yards away. And I see some guy sitting next to the trail in this little kind of cleared out area. And I walk up on him and I'm basically like, hey, what's going on, guys? Like, I can hear a lot of commotion and, you know, and they're like, did you see a mule deer run by you? I'm like, well, I'm sitting in a blind. I heard a lot of animals run by me and a bunch just, you know, ran off the water hole because you guys are talking. So I figured I just needed to see what was going on, you know, and they didn't really understand it. So they said they had seen a mule deer and they're hunting a mule deer and they're just sitting there talking and laughing and I don't know if they thought they weren't talking that loud or they're getting away with it or whatever, but you know, I don't have a deer's ears and I'm sitting in the blind and I can hear them. So of course the deer can hear them. But anyways, I was like, all right, well, I'm sitting down there. I was being really polite about it. And then I come back into the blind. I hear a little bit more talking and then eventually I hear a side-by-side start up and they leave. I'm like, all right, you know, why? So I'm just sitting there. I'm like, what are you doing? If you're coming out here hunting, you know, there's people out here, you know, there's, you know, you yourself is hunting, you know, somebody else is hunting. What are you doing during prime time hunting hours? Talking. Just having a full on conversation. It's not like you're celebrating and you know, you got a deer and you're packing it out. Yeah. These guys were literally sitting there thinking they were hunting.
Right.
Whatever. All right. You know.
Yeah. So
you can do what you want. There's no law against that.
Forget the fact that you were down there. Let's say you weren't even down there, or that they didn't even know you were down there, because I think it was the same guys, to be honest with you.
Might have been the same guys. That's
But
yeah.
just based on the, I remember seeing the ATV thing. But let's just say they didn't know you were down there, so they weren't trying to be rude. They're not doing themselves any special favors by being loud if they want to kill a mule deer. Like, I don't care, you know. The deer is not going to sit there and like, hey, those guys are talking over there. Let me go say hi. It's like, I don't get it.
I'm imagining, just giving them the benefit of the doubt, that they had zero clue what they were doing. I don't know. I couldn't fathom it. So anyways, after they leave, apparently there was two side by sides that were somewhere else, and I hear some more people talking. They were a little bit further away, and I'm just like, what is going on? You know, like, it's just for, and again, deer are used to, I'm sure they're used to all these sounds and people talking and ranchers and all that. And, you know, there was a lady on a horse that was telling her whole life story with some cowboy or whatever, I think from the local dude ranch, that was just lighting up the whole desert. She was so loud. I mean, she wasn't hunting, but it was just like, for me, I'm like, I need to feel like I'm hunting. I need to feel like I'm in the experience to really to dedicate myself to it, to want to sit there, to want to, you know what I mean? That's a part of it for me.
Yeah, for sure.
It's being quiet, which is a huge part of hunting. So, you know, I don't know if they did that on purpose, but it didn't do anybody any favors. Now, before that, what was this? The first day? This was the first day when, you know, we went and parked and we glassed up, I think, the nicest mule deer we saw the whole time, right?
Oh
The
yeah.
first
Yeah,
day.
we should have did this in chronological order. But that, I
I
remember that
forgot.
one sticking out to me. But yeah, you're right. First morning.
So we're clearly on this deer. You're spotting it. I'm moving in, and you know, we're looking a half mile away or something. I don't know how far away it is. Probably not a half mile. We're looking 500 yards away. And there's a guy that was parked way up above us. He was up on top of a ridge. I saw him. He comes down, drives down, passes us. Nothing said or anything like that. And then he eventually, just from my viewpoint, he goes down to the main road, comes in another spot, and is now on the other side of the buck that we're on.
Yeah, basically cut,
And
trying to cut you off.
yeah,
Yeah.
so turns out sometime later.
Let me add to this. That we were there, that truck drove in after us, past us, while at, you know, they came in, and we were glassing that buck up before, because you know, one could say, are you listening to your story? Oh, what if he saw the buck, you know, before you did, and you were the one that was going in on him, and he decided to get closer with the truck or whatever. So,
Sure.
I just wanted to clarify that, because you know, you were clearly, you're already halfway to the, you know, to the deer, if not already down there before the guy even drove by.
So sometime later, an hour and a half later, I'm sitting on these deer. I'm kind of pinned down to where they are. The deer are bedded down, and I'm just waiting for them to get up so I can make kind of a final move to get into position. Or maybe they move and come down to me. Just kind of waiting on them. I could not move them. Deer start acting a little funny. They're looking downhill, and some more deer come up out of the brush to all these deer that are bedded. And I'm just thinking, man, I bet it's that guy who drove down there. Because something's moved him for sure. The deer end up leaving, and about 3 minutes later, here he comes. And he literally walks, it's completely skylined the whole way, literally walks right through where the deer were bedded. I don't know if he knew the deer were there, what he
Yeah,
was doing, you know.
that's the impression that I got. You know, I was like, this guy just got lucky to go park down in that bottom. Maybe he had seen deer go bedding, because they go bed in that mesquite bottom all the time. So maybe he had seen them do that the day before, and he said, I'm just going to still hunt through here. But he was walking like, you know, like he was taking a stroll, you know. There was no, didn't even look like he was trying to sneak in any way, shape, or form, you know.
No. No.
Those guys went 3 miles away, and that was like, yeah, abort mission.
Well, no. Yeah, and I don't know if he did any of that on purpose. I do know that he kind of cut us off and tried to get on the other side of, you know, what we were on.
Right.
And then it just happened to be that way, and it was just like, well, that sucks because, you know, nobody wins in that. Yep. Nobody wins in that regard.
Yep.
And so, you know, I think all these things can happen, of course, all the time to anybody, and that's the nature of public land. I think, you know, before we get to our better stories,
yep.
But it's just the way that I am, the way that I approach public land hunting, I've certainly done it here in California, I've certainly done it in Idaho, is if somebody else is there, or if we see a deer and then they're like, oh, there's another guy or there's a truck right there, I'm not going in on that, because for me, number one, I naturally feel like I'm in a race.
Yeah.
Like,
you're not gonna do anything right.
Right, so now it's like, who's the first person that's gonna get to it? Which is just stupid. You know, don't do that. There might be somebody else that's been trying to get to it for the last 3 hours. You know, there's plenty of animals. You can go find them. So it just doesn't, that's just not the way that I am. And you can do, I don't know. I don't know if there's laws or actual rules to this. You can do whatever the heck you want. But at the same time, I don't think you can or should.
Right.
There's got to be some ethics here instead of everyone just fighting each other over everything.
Yeah, go ahead.
What was, well, there's people everywhere. There's a lot of people everywhere. And there were so part in this is where we were going to go.
Uh-huh.
And then we're like, somebody else is there.
Let's yeah. I mean, you else. Can't get you. Yeah. I was saying that you can't get mad, but see, that's a prime example. Yeah. It's not like, so, what we didn't say about those guys that disrupted you at the waterhole is, so later on that afternoon before I came to grab you, I went to go glass from a hill, and here come those three guys. Glass sat 50 yards from me on the same hill to glass.
Right.
And I'm assuming they didn't know that I was there, but my truck was parked, you know, in plain view, you know, 200 yards from the glassing hill, right?
Yeah.
So, and then they saw me, they stayed for like 20 minutes, and then they end up leaving. So I don't know if they're like, oh shit, we should get out of here. Listen, there's a lot of misunderstandings. I had a pretty big misunderstanding myself last year. They just, I got caught on the wrong day, and it was in a freaking pissy ass mood, and you know.
Yeah.
I try to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. But anyway, that's a whole nother story I'll tell you in private. But it's just,
it was intentional here or anything. I think it's just a conversation about being aware
mm-hmm.
of yourself, how you're affecting others that might be around you. You know, being aware that you are on public land. You know, it's not just yours. And, you know, it's not just like you can just go do whatever you want because nobody else is there. There is somebody there.
Right.
And, you know, keeping that experience alive. So it's just an awareness is what I'm trying to, like, convey to anybody. I'm not necessarily trying to blame anybody.
I know. But you know how it's going to come really off.
Intentional.
You know right. how it's going to come off. We're a bunch of whiners, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
But you know, I was gonna tell. So later on that night, after the whole mule deer thing, you know, with that guy cutting you off and whatever, and blowing them out, we went to go hunt javelina. I took you to one of my, you know, number one javelina spots, and we picked up javelina, and then we stalked in on that herd, and I fucked it up for you. I shot, we were trying to double up, and I shot before you did, because the one you had in front of you was bedded, and I thought, okay, if I shoot, he's going to stand up, and Charles will get a better shot. you know, kind of, we were both at full draw, but and pretty much almost shot it instantaneously at the same time. It was like twack, twack, you know. Anyway, you didn't get yours and I got one. So that was like already like that day was just like really shitty. And then that night driving home, I was driving super fast because I just wanted to get back. We were tired. That was the first morning. So we had driven in that morning at 3 o'clock in the morning, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The truck was still loaded. Yeah.
Yeah, we were still loaded with everything. And I was just like I need to get to the place like now, you know. I'm just going to drive like a fucking maniac. And I managed to eject your bow case. Unbeknownst to us, you know, 20 miles before we got to where we were staying out of the truck. And so that was a freaking whole ordeal. Luckily we found the bow. And
man, after coming back through the trails that we were sure, like, well, it was either these corners you were going around really fast or it had to be the 4x4 trails.
Yeah.
You know, because it's so bouncy. You go back through all that, no bow case.
Yep. 70 miles of driving.
Another outfitter was going down the road looking for us, trying to help us out. And then we basically were like, well, somebody found it. And it's theirs now. And then on the way back, not about a straightaway, it was a little bumpy. Yeah. Basically, at the same time, you were like, there it is right there. And I'm like, there it is right there. And there it was.
Yep.
There was the bow case.
Underneath the bush.
For the most part, it was okay. Yeah, yeah, it was underneath the bush. The whole thing just... that was the first day. and so it didn't really... It was just exhausting, really. You know, it was like, man.
And then what, before you came out to the trip, your main bow, this was your backup bow, your main bow limb cracked, right?
It cracked at the archery shop. I think it fell onto, something hit it. I'm not sure what happened. So there was a crack in that. And that's not the first time when we went to South Dakota, that same new bow, my main bow, the string got cut.
It's cursed.
I have no idea how it got cut. And then I'm like, well, I got my other bow. It's fine. I had my bow case open while I'm packing, and my new puppy gets in it and starts licking the wax on the string and basically
gnawed on your
licks away. Yeah, gnawed on the string. And I'm just like, well, I got to make it work. Hopefully this bow doesn't explode when I shoot it. Because it was like two or three strands that were completely broke. And it didn't break. It worked.
Yep.
So.
Yep. And shot your biggest buck.
But it's always something. Like, it's always something.
Yeah.
Always something.
So pretty much the first, before you got there, and by the end of day one, you were ready to fucking go home.
I was just tired already. I'm like, you got to be. I already know where this is going.
Yeah.
It wears on you. Yeah. You know, it wears on you. You put a bunch of time. You try to prepare. You know, drive 12 hours, you know, whatever. You just,
right.
It's hard.
So next morning we go back out to the same spot where you were chasing those muleys. But beforehand, we spent about an hour trying to shoot your bow and make sure everything was dialed in. We made a couple of adjustments.
Yep.
And
it was like good enough. Like, all right, this is good enough.
Yeah. And then we didn't see any deer. There was no deer. All those deer, and that morning before, we talked about the one you went after, but I had glassed up at least three shooter mule deer and one shooter coos.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went back in the same spot, glassing from the same thing, and we couldn't even pick up a deer. It was like, oh, what the hell just happened, you know?
Right.
And, that was pretty crazy. Then we went to go set up the blinds that afternoon, right? On water holes.
Was it that afternoon? Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was the next day.
I think so. Yep. Yeah, I can't remember. And then, so we lost pretty much that whole second day. We really didn't do any hunting. I didn't go on one single. I was thinking about it. I did not stalk one single deer. Not one. Well, I went on that one with you. Our last story before we left, before we threw our hands up and said, fuck this, we're going home.
Yeah, that one. I mean, I only stalk, am I wrong? I only stalked one deer just that first day, the one where the guy walked through there, where they were all bedded, right?
Yeah, I guess technically.
Another deer.
Technically. I mean, you went to that one when we were down south. You went after that one, but just we couldn't get you to find what I was looking at. Yeah.
I never got out of the truck, but yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, no, it was that was kind of frustrating. I mean, I just knew what it could be there. Mm-hmm. I knew what it has been there. Right. You know, and honestly, I should have been done anyways. You know what I mean? I got the javelina and I should have had the mule deer. I should have been done. I just had all these issues. Just mentally, I had a short fuse mentally. I'll definitely admit to that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Which is whatever. I think sometimes it happens. Sometimes I can just keep going. I'm like, yeah, whatever. This is the way it goes. And then sometimes I just,
mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't know.
You let it get the best of you. I know it happens to me. I
definitely let it get the best of me.
Happens to me more so than you. I know that for sure. My mental fuse is way less. But yeah, in the midst of all that, I mean, we still managed to, you know, have some fun or whatever. But it that last day, that was like, well, it ended up being our last day because we just called it quits. It wasn't supposed to be our last day, but. Yeah. You know, we spot this buck up from the road where you spotted actually. And they're in a mesquite bottom that I know pretty well. And, I've done quite a bit of coyote calling in there, and they were kind of working. I knew they were either going to work their way across the road or they were just going to hang out where the two mesquite bottoms meet and bed down in there. So we, you know, we pull off the road, we get our gear, cross the fence, you know, hike in 300-400 yards to get the wind right, come back and start making our way back towards the highway. And in the meantime, as we're crossing the fence, a truck passes by us, flips around, and then passes by again and goes on the opposite side of the wash of us.
100% sees us. Now this is just to set up the scenario. So yeah, we're along I guess you could consider this a highway. I mean, it's in the middle of nowhere, but
yeah.
100% sees us. 100% sees the deer. 100% knows, and we know this now also because of later, knows that we are going after those deer.
Right. Yep.
But they still stop.
No fucks.
They still get out. And we didn't know that they got out and were going after the deer until we are about 200 yards away from the deer. John and I are sneaking in. And I see some movement, which I'm just thinking deer.
Right.
I look to my right, and there's two guys, like, trotting in towards the deer.
Like,
and I'm like, John, there's a hunter right there. There's another hunter right there. He goes, there's another one. So there's two guys, and I'm like, so this is after everything. This is the very last day after basically everything we tried gets screwed up by something. And then here we are with this. As far as opportunities go, you could consider it a slam dunk. But of course, some guys decided to say, let's try and beat them to the deer.
Yeah, well, that was it too. They saw us and they started moving faster. I'm like, oh my God, this is a foot race now. And I'm like, ugh.
So we get in, there's no deer. Nobody saw any deer. I'm certain that they saw the guys on the road running into them, and the deer probably crossed the road and they're gone.
Right. Yep.
So yeah, and then we see the truck go by because they're right by the truck, right by the road, and they got their windows down and they're like looking at us like, ha ha ha, kind of a thing or something.
Yeah.
John and I get up to the road.
Which infuriated
John, me. John, you're just like, I bet we can catch up with them. I'm like, yeah, we can. So we did. Like 10 miles down the road, we caught up with them, called them out. Like our truck's sitting next to their truck. And I'm not saying this is a smart thing to do either.
No, that's how you get shot in the face.
Yeah. completely call them out. Like, hey, you saw us going in after these deer. You decided to do it anyways. And their excuse was basically like, well, it's public land. That was basically the gist of what was going on. And
yeah.
And it's just like, are you kidding me? Like, nobody, well, how'd that work out for everybody?
Exactly.
Like, you're going to race into deer with a bow and arrow. I mean, what kind of, what's your percentages there? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you know, if it's a mistake, if it's a it's a mistake.
Yeah.
But if you know somebody's going in after a deer and you're just like, no, I'm going to beat
it. Oh, that was as blatant as it gets. I mean, they admitted it. Right. They admitted it. Like, yeah, so what? We went after the same deer. And they were from Pennsylvania. So mind you, every single confrontation right now, and I didn't call out the first guy was from California. The other guys were from California. These guys were from freaking Pennsylvania. And I even said to them, I said, we don't do that shit here in Arizona, man. Like, that's not what we do. I know back east, because I'm from New York, man. It's fucking combat, you know? Like, because there's not, you don't have, I mean, you have 80-something percent public land out here, man. There's no reason.
Right.
There's no fucking reason to go glass next to somebody. There's no freaking reason to hunt the same spot. There's nothing, like zero. Like, and it infuriates me, like, it infuriates me to no end. And I, again, like I said, it's just.
For me, I lose the experience. Like, I hear about guys sitting on the same water hole. Like, you're sitting on the water hole, and then somebody else will come and sit. And I'm just like, are you, what?
Okay.
Why would you do that? Like, that's so not fun. Like, that's part of this is fun. Yeah. Go find another spot if somebody's already there.
I get it. You had a game plan in your head and you got there and it wasn't, you know, how many times does that happen to us? I mean,
all the time.
It happened to us like 5 times on that trip. Like, oh fuck, there's somebody already there. We're not going to go
then
there.
And you go find a new spot that you've never been, and it's awesome too. I mean, you know, it's just, that's a part of this whole public land thing.
Yeah. Like, I mean, but shit. You want that spot? Get up fucking earlier. It's just that simple. You know? I usually don't have this issue during bow hunts. It's usually that's a rifle hunt thing.
Like, yeah, I've never had it with a bow hunt deal.
Rifle elk season especially. Like, I mean, there's no zero ethics, zero. It's out the fucking window. I mean, even on my last hunt, we had guys cut us off and what it just, you know, whatever. It is what it is. But I don't know. I'm sure you know, I think I was telling you about it, that they're trying to ban trail cameras here in Arizona.
Yeah.
You know, their main reason is because of people problems. It's not really, they're not really doing it for the deer herd, even though they're citing stuff and whatever for the deer herd. But it's not really because of the deer herd. It's because people have zero fucks about each other. And we'll go check a trail camera. Well, another guy's sitting on the goddamn hole. And it's causing confrontation. And it's
or vandalize the camera.
Yeah, exactly. Put red tape on the camera like it happened to me. Like, come on.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You're pissed off at me because I had the foresight to put my camera up a month before yours. I mean, don't get fucking mad at me. Like,
right.
It's the early bird catch that gets the worm. You know what I'm saying? If I had gotten to that watering spot and there was already a camera on there, I wouldn't even put a camera on it. You know what? Somebody else is going to be hunting this. I don't want that competition.
I would do this. I know that doesn't happen. I would feel the same way. Yeah. I would want to find that special spot that's maybe harder to get to that nobody else has found.
Right. Right.
Because then I'm just going to be sitting there thinking somebody else is, I don't know if they were here yesterday. Somebody else is going to walk in while I'm hunting here. I just don't like that for me, from my experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just not how I'm going to do it.
Right.
You know, for me, it was kind of an eye opening. It had actually been a while since I had hunted fairly easily accessible public land.
Yeah.
Where like in this instance, there's kind of roads all over the place you can access. It's not just like it's not like you just park on the main road and then everything else is hiking, which I've done that. And there's a lot of people, you know, I've done that in Idaho and, I don't know, but Idaho is a great example of it, where every canyon has a truck or a trailer or something or whatever, and you kind of find your own. Mm-hmm. For the most part, that's how it works. Everybody just sort of finds their own because there's so much land there as well. And then I usually will not see anybody else mm-hmm. while I'm hunting because it's all just hiking in.
Right.
So the more you want to hike, the further away you're going to get.
Yeah.
You know, there isn't anybody out there in an ATV because it's just not accessible. You just can't. It's not allowed.
Right.
But in California, where I used to hunt public land archery a lot, I would never see anybody. But it's been, so for deer, like, you know, close to the Bay Area where there's a lot of people, mm-hmm. it's been probably 8 years since I've hunted that. So I was thinking, man, I wonder if I go back this July or August or whatever and hunt the same areas, is it going to be as busy? And you and I were discussing it.
Yeah, it will.
Bow hunting has increased.
Explode.
Yeah, you know, fivefold, right? I think is what we were saying. At least fivefold in the last 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's this push for more hunters, of course, and the push for protecting public lands. And I was just thinking, you know, the push is really so, there wouldn't be a push if we didn't have to worry about us losing our hunting rights.
Right.
But the push is for more people, and more people means more of a voice. So now we're not going to lose our hunting rights, which is terrible that that's what we have to do, that we have to, you know.
Yeah. You're making a worse hunting experience because you're trying not to lose hunting.
So that's what's happening. We're actually getting, since there's so many people out there, we're actually having a worse hunting experience in order to keep hunting.
Yep.
Exactly. It's an interesting kind of.
Yeah, it's a shitty thing.
You know,
yeah.
Like, I believe in it, but the practice of it is, it's kind of frustrating. You know?
Again, it comes down to the same thing I said earlier. It's a freaking people problem, man. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's definitely not easily solved, but. Because not everybody follows the rules, but not everybody follows the laws. So let alone they're gonna follow a code of ethics. You know, if there was like a standardized code of ethics, I think it's not gonna solve it, but it definitely minimize, maybe greatly reduce, might even be a good way to put that. You know, the amount of, because how many times you said, well, okay, it's legal for me to do this. It's legal for me to do that. But is it right for me to do that? Like,
mm-hmm.
no, it's not. And then, you know, the other thing I noticed, and I, listen, I'm no fucking angel by any means. I've had my times where I've, you know, you catch me on the wrong day, whatever. But, you know, when you're in a really desperate, when you feel desperate, like, oh, fuck, I'm not seeing deer, I'm not doing this, I'm like, I'm having a terrible hunt, you do desperate shit, you know? And it makes you do things that you probably wouldn't normally do. And I try to think about people in that light. Oh, this guy's just doing, he just hasn't seen a deer and whatever, and he finally sees a deer and it's the one that I'm stalking, and you know what? He gives two fucks right now because it's the only deer he's seen. And I try to think of it like that, but, you know, in the end, is it the right thing to do? No, it's not. And at least not in my opinion. I mean, I'm not the fucking, like I said, I'm not a saint, and I'm not the decision maker or the end all of everybody's, you know, opinion, but it's just, it's frustrating as fuck, man. You know, going back to the trail camera thing, like, if there was a standardized code of ethics, and, you know, of course you got to get people to follow it too, but, and most people followed it, there would be a lot less confrontation. There'd be a lot less, you know, bullshit that they're dealing with. And we wouldn't be losing our rights. We're going to lose our right. We're literally going to lose our right. They've already made up their mind. They're saying they're taking public opinion, but I just listened to a podcast of the commissioners on there, and they basically said that they don't really give a fuck what the population has to say because they already made up their mind. This is the only solution. They can't think past whatever solution that, you know, that they already have in their mind, which is to ban it. And that's just shitty. That's just shitty because you know what? If you lose it here, it gives precedence for other states to lose it. And it's just, for me, for the, like, the anti, looking at it from the anti-hunting community, that's like a giant win for them. Like, it's like, you know, fuck, we're taking away this thing. They're taking it away from themselves. They don't even have to, you know, start a fight. You know, they're losing yet another right. And you just keep chipping away at these rights. And eventually, and that's like, that's what the rest of this fucking country's become. That's why there's no, I don't even want to get started. I could already hear the unsubscribe buttons going from,
yeah,
you know, my, but
whatever. Well, I think the message is just to, like, you know, be courteous. And there is that in the hunting, you know, I don't know if there's like a set public land hunting, code of ethics. I don't know if there is.
I never even looked to see if there was one.
I've seen a lot online where, in the whole public land talk, when somebody brings up something like this, and I see a lot of people that just say, "Hey, it's public land. It's not yours. We can sit right next to each other." And then,
yeah,
yes, you can. I just don't understand
why you do.
Why? yeah. Like, that's just, come on. That's ridiculous. You know, yeah. I know in you know, mountaineering and in backpacking and whatnot, there are there's like leave no trace. Right. And that started certainly with, you know, I think with campers and backpackers and whatnot. And then there's expedition behavior. Mm-hmm. So if you're on an expedition with people, there's just a certain, I forget, there's like a guy who wrote it or something, but there's like these set of rules of how does the group get along? How does in stress, how does in, you know, whatever, how do we keep it? How's the best way to keep it? And I don't, you know, to keep it civil.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's really no direct rules. I think in everything, it's just be courteous. And I think a few of the, you know, our cases weren't the most extreme. The last one was kind of just, the most extreme would be this, and this has happened to you.
Right.
Where people are shooting at elk 1700 yards away over your heads.
Oh yeah.
When you're stalking an elk.
That's like plain dangerous on top of
it. And they're just like, well, I can get the elk right now because I can shoot it at 1700 yards. It doesn't matter that there's somebody in between me and them. Like, that's
well, tell you this. They didn't even go check to see if they hit those elk when they determined that they didn't.
Yeah. I don't think this represents the majority of people. It's always the, you know, but there's always a few out there, and if you hunt a lot, you're going to end up running into them. I mean, it's what stopped me hunting public land in California with a rifle was the opening day of rifle season. I felt it was dangerous.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, it was one of the craziest times. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to get out of here alive. There was just shots going off everywhere. And I know it wasn't at actual animals.
Yeah.
You know, I'd been hunting that for a long time. I'm like, there isn't that many animals here. People are just, and then I witnessed people just shooting into brush, you know, into large patches of brush to see if there was something in there to get it to run out.
That's crazy.
I said, well, that's it. That's it for me. I'm not doing this again.
That's how you catch a fucking bullet to the gut for no reason at all.
Yeah. So, you know, so I think just the bottom line is just being courteous. I think there was a few instances there where people weren't thinking about, are they being courteous? And then there was a few instances where people were like, we don't care if we're being courteous or not. Mm-hmm. We're just going to go after this deer.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, come on. We don't need to be that way.
No.
And for me, I'm all about, I love being an individual and being like, you know, I'm an island. But when you're out there, you just can't. Not in that situation, not in the public land situation. And us as hunters have to be organized and on the same team as a group.
Yeah. Well, I've been preaching that forever. We're not. We're so not.
We're, That's why we have to if we want to keep this.
That's why, because everybody's out for their own interests. Like,
or the thing about it is, nothing that you and I are suggesting is going to hurt hunting. So
no,
that's the difference when somebody says yes, but I can do this. But yeah, but you're gonna hurt hunting. I think we're not. Nothing we're suggesting is going to hurt hunting.
No, agreed.
We're suggesting people get along better and be a little more courteous for the hunters that are out there. And, you know, if everybody's like that. So anyways, like a code of ethics, I think, you know, it's not necessarily enforceable, but it is.
I think you should write it, Charles.
It becomes like, in a way, it becomes enforceable just by, God, I hate even talking like this, honestly, but it's like socially enforceable. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
but like between us hunters, you know, it's like, all right, you know, I don't know you. I don't know where you're from. I don't know what state you're from. We're out here. But if I see you 300 yards away and, you know, I'm not going to get in a race with you.
Yeah,
I can. There's no rule against it,
but I'm not going to. Right.
You know, Or this has happened a lot where I run into people. I have ran into people for sure. Mm. And you're like, oh man, there's a guy 50 yards away from me. You go talk to him. Yeah. Hey, what's your plan? What are you doing? All right. Yeah. Sweet. All right. Well, I'll go down this way. Have a good day. Right. So, you know, and it's like, and then that's happened to me. And then later on, I become friends with a guy or whatever.
I've met hunting buddies that way. I mean, I got guys out here that I met in Utah, and that's exactly how I met them. And I was having a shit time dealing with, and of course now I'm the out-of-state hunter, where guys would come up and pull up 30 yards from me and glassing the same shit that I'm glassing. And I'm like, again, no law against it, right? But what was driving me nuts is they didn't even say hi. Hey, bud, what's going on? How you doing? I'm going to glass right here. Is that cool? You know, anything. Anything. I'm sure as hell not going to say no. If you say, hey, do you mind if I glass here? I'm not going to say no, dude. It's fucking public land. Do it.
Yeah.
But just to think that it's okay and then not acknowledge me that I'm a fucking human being, you know?
Don't be that oblivious.
Yeah, like, come on, man. That you drove me fucking nuts. But, you know, literally that same week that I was hunting there, I had another two guys, a father and son. They know who they are. I'm good friends with them now. I've been friends with them for years. Hey, do you mind if we glass with you? No, yeah, go ahead, man. I said, oh, I even said I don't know what you're looking for, but I'm not going to go after them. There's a deer here and there's a deer there, you know? And I end up hunting with them a little bit. End up helping him pack out his deer that he shot. And, you know, they actually, I became good friends with his cousin. His cousin lived there in Utah. And his cousin helped me pack out my deer when I shot mine later that week. It was just like, you know, that to me is what it's about. You know, and listen, man, I'm a hothead. I'll fucking be the first to tell you. I've gotten to situations where people have pushed my buttons and I've spitefully done shit, you know, because I've been pushed, but I've never once rolled up and went, oh, there's a guy sitting on the glassing hill that I want to go sit on. Well, fuck him. I'm going to go do it anyway. Like that has never crossed my mind. Never once. I've never said to I'm just going to go ahead and do that. Yeah. You know, oh, that guy's going after that deer that also? Oh, I'm going to go after him too. And I think those things, those thoughts don't go through my head. You know, but, you know, I don't know, whatever. I feel like I'm freaking on my soapbox right now, but it's, like I said.
I think it's a good thing for people to listen to and to contemplate themselves when they go out and say, you know, all right, maybe I never thought about that. Maybe people don't really think about it. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know. But just self-awareness is just be aware of yourself and your impact during this public land hunting thing. And And it'll probably end up working out better for you.
I know this
For me, it was just, wow, I hadn't experienced that in a long time. It was kind of, maybe it was a good thing in the long run, you know? Yeah. I don't know. Gave me some things to think about.
Yeah.
For sure.
You're going to wear sneakers next time so you can run faster?
Yeah. Right. I'm not going to put on my thermals underneath so I can stretch a little more and stretch my legs out in a full sprint.
There you go.
Yeah.
You can be faster.
No, regardless of that, it's still a competition in a way. Now it's just like, all right, well, how do I go back with the numbers of people? Mm-hmm. It makes you want to find the better spots. It makes you want to find the harder to reach spots. It makes you want to, because in the end, I really don't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with seeing anybody else if I can help it.
Right. The problem is where we were hunting.
Yes.
Because it's,
you can't really do that.
I mean, you can, if you want to go freaking hike 2000 foot mountain and get up in the mountain, but then it's not something you can continually do where when you're staying, you know, in a house or whatever, you'd have to spike camp. Doesn't make sense.
But I can't get my big mule deer up there though, because there's only coos deer and javelina.
Exactly.
Mule deer are down in the flats. So.
Exactly.
Exactly. At least in that area. Yeah.
But there's tons of areas where you can go. You can get away from people. I just,
for sure.
You know, and I can hear half the guys in their head right now freaking thinking, well, look at these two whiners. They're just hunt harder, you know, or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And normally that's fine. Like, I'm used to dealing with competition. Competition doesn't bother me. Like, I made my bones, you know, I cut my teeth in this whole thing is hunting heavily pressured areas. And again, I told you I'm from New York. I mean, I had to come up with a lot of creative ways to find my own little spots to hunt without being bombarded with a bunch of other hunters. Like that part really doesn't bother me. The part that bothers me is the complete disregard for the fellow hunter. You know, and
I think it's a great conversation to have about heavily pressured, heavily hunted areas on public land, and how do you navigate the other hunters around you?
Yeah,
because and for some people, they'll never hunt like that,
right?
Because they don't even want to deal with it. But the majority of people, they are going to hunt like that, and we did on this recent trip. Mm-hmm. So that's it. You know what I mean? It's a good conversation for that situation.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think it's a great idea. I think it's to have like a standardized deal, but you know, you're always going to have, it's just the nature of hunters. You, like you said it earlier there, it's kind of like a competition all the time because it's an individual sport. It's not a team mm-hmm. sport. And, you know, if you look at it from the standpoint of why do we keep losing hunting privileges? Because we really don't give a shit about the other guy and how he hunts and what he hunts. You know, take like lion hunting. Okay. There's so many people that are in hunting that are hunters that are against lion hunting, bear hunting, whatever.
Right. Or coyote hunting.
Or coyote hunting. Yeah. Predator
or
hunting, whatever.
Or bear hunting.
Yeah. Bear hunting is a big one. It's like, okay, I get that that's not your cup of tea. Right.
Yep.
But it's my cup of tea. It's Joe Schmo's cup of tea. It's Billy Bob's cup of tea, you know, whatever. And you are going to vote against it, or you're not going to vote for it and just wash your hands of it. I don't give a shit. I don't care. I don't, the people in South Carolina don't care that Arizona is going to lose their rights to use trail cameras. So they're not going to get involved. They're not going to sign a petition, whatever. But guess what? Eventually, it's going to come around and it's going to be something that you care about. And those people that you didn't support aren't going to freaking support you. You know, and that's why the anti-hunting groups do so well, is because they, even though they have their own little specialized niches, you know, the Save the Whales guys want, you know, they'll help the freaking Save the Polar Bear guys. They will.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They will, you know, they will throw in with each other. We don't.
Anthropomorphism is the biggest. Don't you just wish all of the waterfowl hunters supported all of the hunting?
Oh yeah.
Wing Imagine shooting, if yeah. they did, because that's the biggest sport, right?
Right.
That's where the most money is, and probably waterfowl hunting.
I think so. Yeah.
Wing shooting, who they do that, but they don't hunt anything else.
Right.
It's not even, they don't even see it as the same thing or whatever.
Or the whitetail, because that would be the next group, the whitetail guys. I live in Illinois and I shoot freaking whitetail every year, and I don't give a shit about you having issues with.
Everybody's got to support.
Why?
Every hunter has to support all hunting.
Listen, there's some outlandish shit, and if it's not bad for hunting, like, you know, chucking spears at pinned down, I don't know, fucking whatever you want to come up with, you know, if you're not tranquilizing bears, stringing them up and chucking spears, you know, stuff that's just like crazy and outlandish, I get it, man. All right, if it's bad for hunting, don't support it. But
yeah,
like it irks me to no fucking end. It really does. Cause like there's things that I don't have a dog in the fight, like, but I'll support it, you know?
I mean, I kind of want a spear hunt. Let's be clear.
Rock hunt. You want to hunt with rocks?
Yeah, I want to hunt with rocks and spears. But, everybody just, honestly, they do need the support. It's exactly what you said. Everybody needs to support everybody, because someday it's going to be, it's just like rights in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because you don't agree with somebody's opinion, that doesn't mean the right is any different.
Oh,
I mean, that's, we can't all agree, you know, we're not, freedom of speech isn't so we can just talk about the weather every day. It's so we can talk about controversial things.
Right.
Exactly. I mean, that's what makes us all individuals and different. So, you know, it's the same kind of idea exists, you know, with this.
For
and
sure.
We should all support each other.
America.
It might not be your thing.
Yeah.
That's exactly. fine.
Yeah, but people don't look at the big picture. People don't always look at the big picture shit. I mean, look at what's going on with politics right now in the country. And it, you know, again,
it's beautiful. It's nirvana.
You know, it's my opinion, but Americans are excellent at cutting off their nose to spite their face. Like, mm-hmm. I'm gonna freaking vote for Biden just because I hate Donald Trump. Like, I hate that guy. He's an asshole. Yeah, he's an asshole. He's a fucking crude. He's got zero, like, you know, bedside manner. Like, he's terrible in that aspect. Terrible. Mm-hmm. He's great at pissing people off, but what's better for the country? You know, like, fucking use your brain, man. I mean, and that's the same.
He's certainly great at pissing people off. That's
right.
He might be the greatest.
He is, and he's probably going to go down as the worst president ever because of that. And, you know, all the good shit that he did is going to get fucking erased. But I don't want to turn this into a freaking Trump rally over here, because I said this from day one. I've never really been a Trump supporter. I don't really like the guy, but fuck if I'm going to vote for the one that's the best possible for the country and the best possible for my family, you know. It's like that kind of shit. So, and it's, you know, it's no different in what we're dealing with the hunting. But I think in the hunting community, it's way worse. it's more amplified, you know, because people just don't give a shit about it. If it doesn't affect them directly, they don't give a shit.
I mean, we're not burning each other's businesses down and stuff like that.
No, true.
It's
true.
Definitely way worse than the political.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, it's more prevalent in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And the occurrence of it, it's more, it mm-hmm. happens more often. Oh, maybe not really, but who knows?
Maybe not now.
Yeah, maybe not.
I don't know what's happening now.
I don't know.
This is a whole new territory for me. Whole last year, wow.
I'm definitely seeing the appeal of becoming a hermit and living out in the middle of nowhere without anybody or anything. So
seriously considering that.
Yeah, I think most people have thought about that at some point this year. So anyway, this went from us telling a story of our hunting trip to fucking wine fest, but you know, it is what it is, and you know, do with it as you please. I'm done.
Yeah, no, I think that's good. That's a good spot to, good place to end it for sure. I think it's just getting people to think or see another side or hear our exact scenarios, and I don't know, whatever. Just be courteous.
Yeah. Yeah, there was in all honesty, there was probably three or four other events in there that we just kind of left out, but it was something else. It was definitely a different
year. It was still fun. It was still amazing. It was still
It was still hunting.
It was still, you know, I was thinking about it yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and like, you know, complaining to myself in my head about how something didn't go right,
mm-hmm.
and it was 100% true story. And I looked to my left. I was over by my shop, and there's a dude kind of like under a highway overpass or something in a wheelchair next to a mattress with his dog on the mattress, and that's where he lived. And I literally was just like,
shut the fuck up. It could be a lot worse.
It could be so much worse. Like, I just looked at him and I was like, oh crap. You know, I mean,
yeah,
we are, you and I are insanely blessed what we get to go do.
Yeah, for sure.
So if somebody ruins it, you know, we can go out the next week.
Exactly.
And I might.
Yeah.
I might be back.
Yeah, I might get a divorce if I do that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, you won't.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. We'll see. All right, man. Well, I'm sure I'll talk to you soon. And
cool. Yeah, I'm going to go work on my transmission now.
Have fun with that.
All right, man. I'll see you. All right,
take it easy. Bye. All right,
bye.